This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
You're listening to Radio Hawke's Bay. This is a program called Community Corner. My name is Ken Morrison, and it's my pleasure to have in the studio today Robin and Debbie, who are here to talk about the Disability Emergency Preparedness event. There's two things come along, which is happening on July the 22nd at the Taradale Town Hall from 10 till 2. Thanks for coming in, ladies.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Sounds like a fascinating event. Tell us all about it.
Oh, right. Ready, Set, Respond is the name of the event that Napier City Council will be hosting for the disabled community and their whānau. Just to help them be more prepared and to know what actually the process is when there is an emergency response.
Absolutely. Thanks. Thanks, Debbie. Yes, we will have Tammy Aderns there from Civil Defence, so she'll be doing a presentation which will be really informative and great and aimed, like we said, at people with disabilities, so and their whānau, because it's really important, I think, too, for those that are supporting the disability community to know as well on an individual basis, isn't it, rather than with a service focus.
So
we'll have a panel too, won't we, Debbie?
So after Tammy's done her presentation on what civil defence does and what's required, to be prepared for emergency, there'll be time for the workshop participants to really have a think about what it is that they might need to do to have more control over their what happens to them at when there is an emergency happening at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the afternoon, we've got a great lineup of panelists that I'll be moderating the panel discussion, and there'll be representatives from the fire emergency services, neighbourhood support, police, hopefully,
yes.
And St John's,
yes. So we've got a really good lineup. We've tried to, have a good broad overview of that, haven't we?
Yeah.
About 50 years ago, when I was 20, I remember being part of Civil Defence, and they were saying in those days that in the event of emergency, you really need to be prepared to look after yourself for possibly to 3 days. And so, this ready, set, respond. I guess on paper it looks great that, hey, we're putting all this stuff together. Mm. But what happens in those 3 days that, maybe no one can get to you? Is this seminar or event going to help prepare for that as well?
Well, hopefully, yeah.
Yeah,
hopefully it will give the community some more understanding of what they might need to be prepared for and to expect, particularly in those 3 days, and, have they got enough water? Have they got a backup battery-powered radio?
Yes.
Even a power pack for their phones, if they have mobile phones? What's going to happen with their supports if their regular support workers can't get to them to help them with their day-to-day supports? So what's their contingency plans in those times? What conversations do they need to have with their service providers who are supporting them, so that they know exactly what to potentially expect in times of emergency? Who else can they call on within their neighbourhood, within their own whānau, who might be able to step in and help and support?
Yeah, and we also have, people will talk about their lived experiences too, won't they, Debbie?
Yes, yeah.
And, having gone through the cyclone for a lot of these, a lot of individuals, they can sort of ask those hard questions and things like that. So,
and I think it'll be a really great opportunity for the emergency response providers and agencies that will be there on the panel to hear from the voice of the community as well, particularly disabled people and their whānau, about what some of the key gaps are in the system when emergency response is required, what some things they might need to consider when they might be going and knocking on the door of someone's home, that they use a wheelchair or have another type of impairment or medical condition where they can't necessarily help themselves as much as a non-disabled person might be able to.
What was some of the feedback that came from Cyclone Gabrielle from the disabled community?
I think, well, this is what we're sort of really wading ourselves through, isn't it? I think, you know, there's been a lot that have come out from services, but then a lot of that gets muddled in rather than coming directly from individuals, doesn't it?
This is where the gap was with the response from the cyclone. The needs of actual disabled people themselves or the experience from disabled people themselves were never really consulted on.
No.
It was for myself as a disabled person and seeing the impact from my peers in the community, they never really had an opportunity to have their voice heard about what they experienced through the cyclone. And, you know, like other many people that live in Hawke's Bay that survived and lived through the cyclone, there's been a lot of opportunities and avenues for people to have their say, but for some reason the disabled community have been overlooked considerably. Yeah. And councils have had the funding there to go and hear the voice, so this is an opportunity now that the councils are taking up to go directly to the disabled community and their whānau.
Because the disabled community must feel much more vulnerable
absolutely.
We can get up, walk out.
Get in the car and go. And I think if we, you know, take that approach, that focus, that if we get it right for the disabled community, we get it right for everybody. Because then it makes it inclusive for everybody, doesn't it, Debbie?
So. That's right. I was, like, for myself personally through the cyclone, I wasn't in Hastings at the time. I was working in Wellington. But because I use a power wheelchair, there's no way I could have got home to Hastings. I had to wait 3 weeks before I could get back home. And that time, being separated from my whānau, who were all here in the Bay, was quite hard from that perspective. Because I couldn't just get in the car and drive. You know, the roads were open to Hastings from Wellington. But with the power chair, there's no accessible buses that would accommodate what I needed. I could only fly, which I could have landed in Napier, but then how do I get from Napier to Hastings when the bridges were closed?
Exactly.
Wow.
And I guess the key word that you both mentioned is community, isn't it?
Yes.
Community stepping up and, you know, having that awareness, almost like a neighbourhood watch.
You've
got to be aware of who your neighbours are and how can you help them.
Yeah, that's it. And this gives the opportunity too, especially, you know, we have neighbourhood support that will be present on the day with the panel, and just, you know, let them know that we can actually, you know, make those connections and how important those connections are, just knowing, you know, who might be the really vulnerable ones in the community. And it's not just that, it goes down to even, you know, in our communities where we live, just going back to that, oh yeah, I know Debbie down the road and you know, she might require this. I know my neighbour, I know, because we've lost it. Yeah. We've really lost it over the years, haven't we?
So what do you hope is going to come from this event? I mean, I guess it all sounds good when we're reading it, and we're having a chinwag about it, and we think, oh, yeah, that sounds great. But do you feel sometimes, Debbie, that the community just pays lip service to your needs, your real needs?
I'm not sure. I think there are definitely, the intention is there to be, you know, supportive. But I think what I would hope to come out of this workshop is that, one, disabled people will be more aware about what the role of emergency response services are, so that it breaks down those myths. Like for myself, I thought it would be civil defence that would come to the rescue, but that's not true.
And
I think a lot of people might have that understanding. I didn't realise that when in those times of emergency, council and civil defence and the other response services have to prioritise and triage.
Of course.
But when you're vulnerable and you feel the vulnerability even more, because you might not be able to even go down the streets because of the floods and the silt, for yourself, you see yourself as a priority, but you may not be considered. So creating that understanding and awareness of what the role of the emergency response services is really one thing I hope people will take away. The other thing, though, is okay, in these times of vulnerability, when there might not be the action that I think should be prioritised for me, what can I do for myself that still gives me a sense of control?
Yes.
Because it's that losing control, I think, on top of that vulnerability. Because everyone must experience that loss of control in times of emergency response, particularly like what we experienced with the cyclone. But when you've got that added vulnerability of impairment and disability on top of it, how can I then gain some control in this situation? What do I know I do have? What are the facts that I know? One, I'm still alive. You know, that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Two,
that's
my house isn't flooded. Three, I know I can reach out and contact, even if this person, whoever they might choose that person to be, even if it's via text or email or someone coming and knocking on that person, trying to make their way to that person's place. Right. So having that sense of control, I think, is really important. And I hope people can go away feeling, okay, what do I need to do to maintain a sense of control?
Right, really neat. I think too, from another perspective, especially from the a service provider's perspective, I think what I would really like to see is, them gain more understanding about what the disability community need to. And I think, you know, we've done a lot of groundwork. Well, when I say we, I think Debbie, in terms of, she'll be working with the panellists with some disability training and letting them know sort of prior, which I think is a great idea. It gives them a little bit of understanding. And then when they're hearing from the disability community, hopefully they'll feed that back within their services too. And you know, that hopefully will gear up, just make the way of it being more inclusive. I know through our connections with the council, and we have a NDAG group, which is Napier Disability Advisory Group. So we work with a lot of, different services too, and we meet once a month, don't we, Debbie? And, that's a really good way of us bouncing off each other and just gaining more of an understanding too.
Do we have any idea how many people are affected with a disability across Hawke's Bay in the event of an emergency? I mean, can we put a number on it?
Yeah, we do. I didn't grab that. We do have numbers on that, Ken, and I didn't, unfortunately, I didn't bring them on today, but it is a large number across Hawke's Bay, isn't it?
The last statistic census that was taken, was it 2023 census, was identified 1 in 6 New Zealanders.
1 in 6, that's right.
Identify as having some sort of disability or impairment or medical condition. So, and we know that that's just from the census data. So it used to be 1 in 5.
So
I'd imagine the Hawke's Bay population would be representative, and we have an ageing population too.
Yes, we do,
and that's where a lot of those figures, higher figures came up.
So how do we get the message across to the people that don't come to Ready, Set, Respond? I mean, I know there is a network out there, and you just mentioned that, Robin. So how often are you in touch with all of the different groups just to keep, hey, don't forget about, got to do this, got to do that?
Yeah, I think from us at the council, we're trying to sort of get it out from an emergency response sort of lens out to we're in the midst of doing our community hubs out in the community, so we're trying to get the message out there too. This is what we need to think about to be inclusive for all. And like I said before, if you get it right for the disability community, you get it right for across the board. So we're doing that in that way. But
I also think, through the disability advisory groups on the councils that the councils have, I think that's where the role of the service providers come in as well, is ensuring they have conversations with the people that are in their service, even having conversations with their staff that are the ones that go out into the homes of disabled people. However, not all disabled people receive a service through disability support. So it's just got to be word of mouth. It's got to be disabled people are really great at talking with each other as well. So our hope would be that, you know, participants that come to the workshop will go and network and talk about it. And Hastings City Councils have done a very similar thing earlier in the year, so workshop earlier in the year as well. So word of mouth, I think, is getting out there.
I think it's advocating, isn't it? It's really, you know, just, just striving to be inclusive. And I think, I think we should all really strive strive to be inclusive.
So really set respond. I mean, I've been around for a while, and it's the first time I've heard of this particular event. How often does it happen? I mean, should it be happening more often?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I think like anything, this, you know, it's really, you know, it is very important. Mm. It's whether, you know, I think we all go in with great intentions. Yes. It's,
and then we tick the box and we think, oh, I've done that.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, so I think it's really just, you know, making sure that we all hold ourselves accountable and say, right, this is, you know, really imperative that we're doing this and getting the message out. So, you know, how can we keep banging on that door? So, yeah, is the disability advisor that that I've stepped in for, Janie. She's gone on maternity leave. She came up with that Ready, Set, Respond, didn't she? And so really it was, I think, just a name to be able to encompass. You know, we really, you know, we want to get people ready and get them to think about, you know, what they need. And and respond to that.
Think what the barriers might be for them to be prepared and to be ready.
Mm.
Because sometimes accessing resources are not always accessible for the disabled community. Mm. So being able to be around other disabled people in that workshop talking about what it is, not, you know, hearing what it is they need to be ready and to set and respond.
Yes.
Then looking at, well, what are some of the barriers? What are some of the hurdles that might prevent them from being ready? And then maybe working collectively together to talk about how other people have overcome that or what they might need to do to get resources or whatever it is, you know, an emergency survival pack for 3 days, you know?
Yeah,
so what,
absolutely.
So once this event has finished, what will happen then? Will places like the Napier City Council have it up on their website, and Debbie, you'll have a whole bunch of websites with the same information across the spectrum of organisations. Is that what'll happen? Or?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is that the more that these services and you know, and when I say services, you know, we the emergency services too. I think the more that this is becoming more aware of the needs, the more that they're responding to it too. Civil Defence is sort of coming up with some disability emergency platforms, I believe, and other services are too. So I think really it's just about keeping, you know, it's banging on that door and just, you know, and not resting back and like you said, tick the box and go, oh, well, actually we've done that, you know. Really just picking it up from, because we want to be action focused. I think that was one of the things that when we were discussing about holding this was, and I think for myself, you know, I was like, we do want to hear from the disability community about their lived experiences, but we're nearly 3 years on.
I know.
You know, we don't want them to feel that they're coming and talking and then nothing's been done.
No.
You know, we want to be action focused. We want to say, well, look, you know, we're listening to you. Here are the emergency services that want to listen to you too. How can, you know, so if we put it from a collaboration sort of point of view that everybody comes together, you know, that would be my wish that, you know.
And there might be more people that have that attend that aren't aware of the advisory groups that the council has, and so that could be a platform for people to show an interest of tapping into that group as well. Certainly we're from CCS Disability Action's point of view, we've spent 3 years trying to get tap into the council's resources to do something, to support them to do something like this for the community. And so this is the second one now we've been involved with the council in regards to emergency response. And Would love to be able to package what we've been doing with both Hastings City Council and Napier, Hastings District Council and Napier City Council, package that up and take it to other areas in the country. Yeah. Like Nelson's in Tasman have just experienced, you know, terrible floods. Mm. Auckland was impacted and Bay of Plenty were impacted by the cyclone, and sort of try and tap in. Councils have funds available, or they can re-access the funds.
Is that frustrating for you, that two meetings in 3 years?
Yeah, it's disappointing, to be honest. But what? But we are also excited that the councils are now starting to be aware that this is important.
I think really also important. When we look at it as a society, we think, oh, geez, it was 3 years ago, you know, we've moved on from that. But when you look around the world, it could happen tomorrow.
Mm.
Yeah, the way the climate is, climate change or weather change.
Definitely.
It is something that you have to think about all the time now, don't you?
Yes, oh, absolutely.
It's just
absolutely.
Around the corner. Mm.
No,
so what are you hoping is going to, well, just about out of time, what are you hoping is going to come out of this, Debbie?
Well, I'm really hoping that the collaboration we've been doing with Napier City Council continues, and that we can support them as they progress through the next steps from here. And I'm really hoping that disabled people are starting to feel a little bit more heard, have a voice, be more controlled, and can be more prepared for emergencies.
Yeah, and from a council point of view, Robin, what do you hope is going to come from this?
Yeah, I think what I really, really like to see is it just filtered down, you know, right through the community, right through, you know, our businesses, our services, right through, because, you know, we really need to take an inclusive approach. I would just like quickly to say, sorry, that we didn't mention before, this is also for the hearing impaired too, isn't it, Debbie? So we have got, we will have sign language interpreters there on the day. And So
just remind our listeners one more time, Debbie, Ready, Set, Respond, where is it, when is it?
It is on the 22nd of July. It starts at 10 a.m. on the... At the Tarradale Town Hall. And if people are really interested after listening to this and want to register, they can go on the Napier City Council's website or Facebook page.
There is a Facebook page, events Facebook page. So if they just Google that event, that should come up. So there is Facebook there.
Yep.
There is a video which is done in sign language, so they can have a look at that. And there is a QR code that they just,
and there's an easy read document for those people who need easy read easy to read, be able to better understand what it's all about.
Yeah.
Fabulous. It's been my pleasure to chat with you, Robin and Debbie, and I wish you well for the event. Look forward to talking to you again sometime in the near future.
Thank you.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.